Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Well, hello everyone and welcome once again to another edition of Wrestle Chat Radio's AEW NXT Report. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York. And for the next hour, we will be discussing both AEW and NXT this week at 347-215-8486. 347-215-8486 if you'd like to get in on the conversation. Of course, as always, you can hit us up in the chat room and we can take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. And for the first time in 8 weeks, NXT wins the rating war, albeit a very, very, very narrow victory. And if you're an AEW fan, you can take solace in the fact that it took several of the top named WWE stars heading over to NXT to give NXT that very narrow win. How narrow was it? Well, NXT drew about 893,000 views. AEW, I should say. And NXT drew 913. Talking about a very narrow victory. Give or take, you're talking about 20,000 people. Which is not a lot. Not a lot at all. So it took the WWE to pull out all of the stops. It took the WWE to bring in Seth Rollins and Becky Lynch and Drew McIntyre and Ricochet and the Viking Raiders and Cesaro, the whole shebang, to get that narrow of a victory. Now, why would you ask, is this important? Well, I'll tell you why. Because the WWE was fed up with losing. They can say whatever they want. They can put whatever kind of spin on it they want. They certainly have the alibi of, look, the Survivor Series is coming up and we have to promote it. And the way to promote it is to cross-brand different brands on. We put NXT on WWE and we weren't looking to boost the ratings. So why would you think we did that just for a ratings boost? Yeah, I know. But trust me when I tell you that the WWE was getting to the stage where they're being humiliated. It's going on 2 months. And the WWE, by their own admission, when AEW won rather handily on their debut, which was really no surprise, sent out a congratulatory tweet and then said, but remember, this is not a one-shot. This is for the long haul. And then what does AEW do? Every single week they beat them in the ratings. And the WWE was beginning to realize this is starting to look very poor for us. If we can't, and I know there's going to be NXT supporters who say, yeah, but add in all the network people, the subscribers, they're going to watch. A lot of people watch AEW first and then granted, but we can get NXT later the next day. It doesn't mean there aren't more eyes on NXT. You're absolutely right, but that doesn't matter to the WWE. What matters to the WWE is head-to-head who's winning. Head-to-head who is winning. That's like saying, well, I do the exact same job as someone else, and I make $5 less an hour. But I have two jobs, so technically I make more money. Yeah, but why are you making less an hour? That's what everybody wants to know. So the bottom line is, why would the WWE's NXT product, if it's so great and so wonderful and whatever, how come they can't draw that? So the WWE was desperate to win. And they did win. And even though it was a narrow victory, it's still a victory. And they can now say, with a smile on their face, we have actually won our first ratings victory over AEW, and we'll see if they can continue it. But what this rating told me that I suspected before, but this just kind of solidified it. What this reading told me is that AEW fans and NXT fans aren't necessarily the same fans. In other words, there's a percentage, but I think it's actually lower than I thought. There's a percentage of AEW fans who love NXT and watch NXT too. And there's a percentage of NXT fans who love AEW and watch AEW too. But I don't think it's that high of a percentage. I think there is a solid fan base for NXT who says F AEW. And I think there's a solid fan base for AEW who's saying F NXT. And a reasonably small percentage say, oh no, I like both. Maybe those are going to be the real avid wrestling fans who say, I like both. So I'm not sure they have the same fan base. You know, when this first started, I said they're kind of just splitting their own fan base, but I'm not 100% sure that's true. I'm thinking there's a separate fan base here because at the end of the day, 20,000 people was the difference in the ratings. When you had Seth Rollins and Becky Lynch and Drew McIntyre and Ricochet and the Viking Raiders and, you know, the whole shebang. And a major pay-per-view is coming up on Sunday, which this is going to tie into. That should have been 100,000, maybe 200,000. Not 20,000. So the people who watch NXT and the people who watch AEW, I don't think are necessarily the same people. There was a crossover of maybe 30,000 people, 40,000 people from last week's AEW and NXT. That's it. The AEW fans still watched AEW. The NXT fans still watched NXT. And that small crossover audience was persuaded to go watch NXT. So what does this news mean? Well, it actually could be good news for both brands. Because if you do have the same audience, eventually they're going to choose. Eventually they're going to say, okay, I'm bored with AEW. I'm just sticking with NXT. Or, oh, I'm done with NXT. I'm strictly an AEW guy now. But if it's not the same audience at all, there's no reason for them to choose. The only people that are going to choose is that 30 or 40,000 that seem to fluctuate one way or the other. The rest of them are going to stay right where they are. So if you're not vying for that same share of the market, and it's starting to look like they're not, both of these can flourish and do well and not have to really worry all that much about one or the other stealing their fan base. So that's a very, very interesting statistic. I was looking very closely at this week's statistic because I thought if WWE blows them out of the water, if AEW does 600,000 and the WWE's NXT does 1.2 million, there is the proof in the pudding that AEW fans can be lured away and that AEW really can't survive on just their base fans. But that did not happen. That did not happen. So with that in mind, I think that the WWE now has to come to this reality that maybe you're not in competition. You may be in competition as far as, well, if one of your wrestlers' contracts are up, then they may go there. But I don't think you're in competition as far as the majority of your fan bases are concerned. Mike, I found this a very, very interesting ratings week because it really told the story.
Right. But, again, to your point, though, Marcus, what happens after the pay-per-view when you don't have Becky Lynch and you don't have everybody else that came over to NXT? And what happens if the ratings switch back? And they switch back, right, not just this amount, but they switch back in a big way.
Well, that's what they're going to have to be concerned about. Now, again, what we're talking about essentially is Is AEW going to draw more than WWE? No. It's not close. It's not close. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about NXT. So when the WWE stars are on there, we now see that there is a slight bump. Because the WWE stars have their own fan bases and whatever, and people are going to tune in to see them that may not tune in to see NXT. But I don't think that those people, I guess what I'm saying is NXT's ratings, AEW's ratings didn't go down that much from last week. It's not like, oh my God, you've lured over 200,000 people. AEW's ratings stayed about normal. NXT's ratings increased, which means that more people who don't watch NXT but probably don't watch AEW either, but do watch Raw and SmackDown, went over to NXT and said, well, there's going to be Raw and SmackDown guys on, so I kind of got to watch NXT. So I'm not sure how many it took away from AEW, Mike. I'm thinking a very small amount.
Right. And like you said, that's not – we're not talking about you and me and Mark and Todd and Sabretooth and people like that that will watch everything, just about everything, Raw, SmackDown, NXT, AEW, you know, all these, NWA Power, all these other shows. We're not talking about us that are the avid wrestling fans. We're talking about the fans that are maybe on the periphery, you know.
Right. That's a very good point. And that's absolutely correct. If you're a wrestling fan like we are, you're going to try your damnedest to watch everything, even if it ruins your social life and keeps you up at night. Because you just, that's the way you are. But your average wrestling fan, again, who may watch Raw or SmackDown, I think those were the ones that were lured over to watch NXT. I don't think it was AEW fans lured away. I think it was WWE fans who aren't normally tuning into NXT saying, yes, tonight I've got to watch because WWE guys are going to be on it. At least that's my feeling. Now, it's interesting that Mike mentioned the NWA because I want to talk about them briefly. I know we don't talk much about them on the show because if we talked about every wrestling federation, we'd have to have 50 shows. But something very interesting happened that I think justifies what I have said about Jim Cornette for a very long time on this show. And that is that Jim Cornette is a moron. Oh, he may have some knowledge of wrestling. I'm not saying if you're a Jim Cornette fan, don't go nutso. I'm not saying he doesn't have any knowledge of wrestling. What I am saying is that he's a hypocrite. And he's a moron. Because when a man can say something as dumb as, if you voted for a certain candidate, I don't want you listening to my show. And the reason I don't want you listening to my show is because you're a horrible person and you're a racist and you're a misogynist and you're a homophobe and you're all of these horrible things that I am morally above. I don't want to deal with you because I'm morally your superior. And then you get on NWA Power and say about a man, this guy is so brave, he could strap a bucket of fried chicken to his back and run through Ethiopia. Because that's not racist, right? That's not remotely racist. Well, he's resigned, quote unquote, fired from NWA. Good. Good. Because now maybe NWA can get on with the serious business of not having to worry that one of your main announcers is isolating half of your fan base. I don't understand how people put up with this for 5 seconds. For 5 seconds, if I hired somebody tomorrow to fill in for me on this radio show and they made an asinine statement like Jim Cornette made, or even made an asinine statement saying, if you voted for a certain person, I don't want you listening to the show, they're fired. And I don't care if they voted for the person I voted for or they didn't. That's not what this show is about. This show is about professional wrestling. I don't give a damn who you voted for. I don't give a damn who you like politically. I don't even give a damn who you like wrestling-wise. I'll debate it with you, but I don't really care who you like wrestling-wise. That's enjoy wrestling the way you want to enjoy wrestling. That's the point. And when you start to politicize every aspect of the world into, if you don't totally agree with me, if you don't think I am the live-all, be-all, die-all, and every single one of my ideologies you agree with and support, I don't want you anywhere near me, there's something mentally wrong with you. If you have to live in a bubble of I'm always right or I don't want you near me, you need to seek psychiatric help. And I've said for years that Jim Cornette is a hypocrite. He will say one thing and do exactly the other and then claim, oh, no, 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 no. Totally different. No, it's not totally different. So who's the real racist? A guy who would tell a joke like that and say, I don't find that remotely upset. It's not racist. It's not. I was just talking about, you know, people who are hungry and you're running past somebody with food. You know, well, you picked fried chicken and you picked a predominantly African-American demographic, right? That's not remotely racist, huh? Please. You know what the problem is? You didn't stop to think before your big fat mouth engaged itself and the truth came out. And now you look like exactly what I said you were from the very start. A total hypocrite and a total moron. I don't care whether he resigned, he was fired, he's taking a leave of whatever. You can put whatever spin you want on it. He's not going to be on NWA Power anymore, and I'm glad. Not just because he made the comment, but because he's made so many comments that isolate so many fans. I don't know why you'd want somebody like that. I just don't. So Jim Cornette is out. I don't know who's in, Mike, but I think in the long run it helps NWA.
It really does. I believe the comment was said something about it was Trevor Murdoch or somebody.
It was.
To go back and yeah. So yeah. Again, you know, and this was after they flat out said, well, he reminds me of Captain Redneck and all that stuff, and that's this, that, and the other, and all that stuff, and which is fine because yeah, that was basically his gimmick in the WWE. But again, this guy is an idiot, and he shouldn't be because he's been around the sport or the entertainment or whatever. For how long? I mean, Jerry Lawler doesn't do that. Right, Jerry Lawler doesn't do that. I mean, I'd almost rather see that NWA Power go and get somebody like, I don't know, Joey Styles, you know?
Exactly. Whoever they get, it's going to be better than Jim Cornette for this reason. Jim Cornette is a liability. Because he's always going to say asinine things that half of your audience is going to say, then forget it. I'm not going to watch this idiot. They're not even smart enough to realize they're hurting themselves. That's the problem. That's the problem. And by the way, Jim, while you're saying, I don't want anybody to listen to my show that voted a certain way, you don't say, oh, I don't want anybody to listen to my show that sells drugs. I don't want anybody to listen to my show that beats their wife. I don't want anybody to listen to my show that are child abusers, animal abusers. Those you don't care about. Those you don't feel strongly enough to make that statement. Just who you voted for. That's what makes you an idiot. And a big one. And the hilarious thing about Jim Cornette is, he has been lulled into this ass-kissing thing where he thinks he is an amazing announcer and a genius and apparently a real tough guy. He's going to fight Santino Marella and all this kind of stuff. Jim Cornette needs to calm down. Or he's going to get knocked down by somebody. Because people don't put up with that shit. Okay, you might be living in this glass bubble of, oh, well, nobody in the business is going to touch Jim Cornette because he's got connections. But there's a lot of people outside the business who will knock you down. Or a few people in this business who probably don't give a damn. So you're treading on thin ice, my friend. And listen, I'm equal opportunity here as far as I think Jordan Miles is full of crap. You want my opinion on the Jordan Miles situation with his T-shirt and all the nonsense? I don't think it was a racist T-shirt. I think he knows it wasn't a racist T-shirt. I think he knows his career was going absolutely nowhere in NXT, so he decided, I'm going to be a social justice warrior. I'm going to cry victim, 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 victim. I'm going to say, rise up with me, everybody, and I'm going to be like this big martyr. Ah, fuck the WWE. I'm leaving it because my feelings are so strong that I don't want to work for anybody who treats me in a racial manner. Baloney. You woke up one day and said, I ain't going nowhere with this company. I'm really not good enough to cut the mustard. I'm going to have to get the hell out of here. They're not going to let me out of my contract unless I really cause a disturbance. So I'll create this fictional outrage of being racially abused in the WWE, and I'll get all of these people behind me, and it'll be a movement. And then no matter where I go, that movement will follow me, and I'll be a big martyr. Ah, please. I know what you're up to. Wrestling fans, a lot of wrestling fans know what you're up to because wrestling fans are smarter. See, this is the deal that I've never understood. I'm not going to say all, but a good amount of people in the business think wrestling fans aren't really that intelligent. And I got to tell you that I have met a ton of wrestling fans. And most of them are very intelligent. That's where they make their mistake. They think they can get away with bullshit. They think, these dumb fans, I can tell them what I can tell them. The, you know, water runs uphill. They don't know no different. Yeah, we do. We get it. We know that there is no pee under the shell, you know, in the shell game. We get it. Anyway, let's get on to NXT because it was a very interesting. Well, you know what? We got to take care of one more piece of business, and that is the CM Punk debut on WWE Backstage. So drum roll, please, because 100,000 people watched before CM Punk came on at the end and said, I'll be on next week. Horrible ratings, 100,000 people. Drum roll, please. CM Punk being on WWE Backstage has increased the ratings by 80,000 people. 80,000 people. That's it. Not 200,000-300,000 people, 80,000 people. Now it's an increase, but it's also his first appearance. And everybody was interested in what might he say. Is it going to lead into a wrestling angle? Blah, blah, blah. Now that they know it's not, we'll see what happens with next time he's on. But this has got to be a very disappointing statistic to Fox, who really thought that, oh, well, if we bring CM Punk back, we may hit 600,000 people watching this show. Yeah, no, 80,000 extra people. That's not a lot of people. It's just not. And CM Punk did a horrible job. Now there's going to be a lot of people who are mad at me and say, oh, horrible job. He told it like it was. No, he told it like he thought it was, but he's wrong. He says the reason that, when I seen that dog costume, this is the reason I almost don't want to do shows like this. How stupid is that? No, it's not stupid at all. I told you why it's brilliant. It's brilliant because, unlike CM Punk as a heel, who never got any boos, because he always insisted on being the coolest guy in the room, Baron Corbin's gimmick of bringing out a stupid dog, of course it's stupid, and getting him to go on his hands and knees and roll over and stuff, that's very stupid stuff and very uncool stuff. And makes fans roll their eyes and go, oh, God, this idiot thinks this is funny. He's such an idiot, this guy. I hate this guy. Oh, isn't that what I'm supposed to do? Aren't I supposed to hate this guy? I'm not supposed to think he's the coolest guy in the room. I'm not supposed to think what he's doing is funny and awesome and cool and cheer it on. I'm supposed to think he's a total geek who's wasting my time and doing these horrible, stupid gimmicks. And God, can someone please just come out and shut him up? That's exactly what you're supposed to do. CM Punk still thinks the heel is supposed to be the coolest guy in the room. Because whether he's a heel or a face, he wants to be the coolest guy in the room. And if he's not the coolest guy in the room, then he's not going to go on. So I think he's 100% wrong. Now, if you can agree with CM Punk if you want. I'm not saying this dog angle was brilliant because it was hilarious and wonderful and fabulous. I'm saying this dog gimmick was brilliant because it underlined how dumb Baron Corbin is and how uncool he is and how his sense of humor is ridiculously lame and he's ridiculously lame and makes you want to boo him. And apparently, Mike, that logic escapes CM Punk because he thinks it's just bad.
Well, yeah, that plus it would have helped if he would have at least won one of his fights, because if he'd done that, then maybe people would really want to see him. I really don't want to see him. You know, I don't want to see him. I don't want to hear him. And it all stems from the fact that he said he was as good as he is, and then he goes into something else, and he doesn't get the job done. You know?
I agree. And we got a lot of wrestling fans who wrote to me and said, this is wonderful. I watched CM Punk, and he was great, and I loved him, and it's fantastic, and I'm on his side now. Really? So you're on the side of a guy. I want you to understand this. You're on the side of a guy who said, if you're over the age of 14, and you watch pro wrestling, you're a moron. Pro wrestling is stupid. I've washed my hands of it. I want nothing to do with, not WWE, with it in general. I don't want anything to do with its fans in general. Then you go into an MMA ring and you get your ass kicked twice because you have absolutely nothing but ego to back up what you are. You sit around for a while and say, I can't go the rest of my life without a job here. And Fox is offering me money to be an analyst. And then, to add insult to injury, you take the money, substantial amount of money, from Fox to be an analyst. And then get on a show and say, I don't know who Baron Corbin is, but you don't know who Baron Corbin is? Well, here's a newsflash, a CM Punk. If tomorrow they said to me, hey, Marcus, we heard your radio show and we want you to come down and do a show about some MMA group we're doing, a radio show, and I agree to it, I'm going to go down there and meet every single person. I'm going to watch tapes. I'm going to see who's who. So I know what I'm talking about. Okay? Because that's my job now. I took a job. And the job is to be an analyst for a company I don't know anything about now. So I have to do my research, don't I? No, not if you're CM Punk. You just stumble onto the set, sit down in your jeans, fold your leg over your knee and say, oh, I don't know any of these people. But I think that looks stupid. And fans say, yay, CM Punk, he's a hero. He's a hero. He just stole money to do a job he has no intention of doing because he's told you all he doesn't even know who Baron Corbin is. I didn't really watch this guy. I don't know much about him. Oh, well, you know what? Then you should have. You should have said, what are we discussing on our first show? Baron Corbin and stuff? Let me watch him. Let me see where this angle is going with Baron Corbin. What am I supposed to be discussing? I'd like to have an intelligent understanding of where they're going with this before I comment on it. But CM Punk's ego is so big that he says, I don't need to know the backstory. Just give me any topic. Stem cell research. Give me. It doesn't matter. Oh, I think this. It doesn't matter. I've done no research. I know nothing about it. But this is what I think, and I'm right. You know how much ego that takes? Same amount of ego it takes to get into a ring with a professional fighter who has trained their whole life and they're half your age and you have no skill in it and say, I'm going to win easy. I can walk in here and take any of these guys on. That's the same ego it takes. So I'm with Mike. I have no care to hear anything CM Punk has to say because he has absolutely admitted on this show, I don't watch the product. I don't intend to waste my time watching this product. I will sit on this chair and run my mouth if you want to give me enough money and say how everything's horrible and dumb, and you just give me money. And that's what I do. Don't ask me to watch tapes. Don't ask me for deep analysis. Don't ask me to really do a job because I don't want to. See, CM Punk is one of those guys. People wonder why I don't like CM Punk. I'll tell you why. Because he mirrors a faction of society I do not like. He mirrors a faction of society that says, I want to be a writer. But I don't feel like learning English well enough. I don't feel like taking writing classes. So I'll let autocorrect do all my work, and I will just submit something, and they can edit it, and they can write it the way they want to. I want to be a musician, but I don't play any instruments, so I'm just going to use loops and samples and do whatever I want to do that way because I can't be bothered to learn an instrument. It's always this, I want to be this, but I don't want to put the work into it. I want to be an analyst, but I don't bother me with any of Baron Corbin's previous tapes. I don't have time for that. I want to be an MMA fighter, but don't bother me with, you know, watching tapes of my opponent and training hard. I don't have time for that. I'm too good. I'll just walk in there and knock them out. That's what I do until it doesn't happen. So, no, I'm not a CM Punk fan. I'm not a CM Punk fan now. I wasn't 5 years ago, and I won't be 5 years from now. Anyway, NXT started with a hell of a match, didn't it? The Revival and the Undisputed Era really tore it down. And, you know, listen, maybe, just maybe, if the Revival stayed where they were, maybe they'd be happy. I don't know. But I do know they showed quite a bit. And for the WWE fans who've never seen them that way, wow. Now, here's the negative. While they were putting on this match, tremendous match, Nick Jackson and Phoenix over in AEW were just killing it. And I am not the biggest Nick Jackson fan. But they killed it. Absolutely knocked it out of the park. And I'm saying to myself, the very fact that some wrestling fans are missing either one of these matches bothers me more than who's got the better match. It doesn't even matter. It's up to your perspective. I talked to fans who said, oh, I preferred the tag team match. Okay. And then there were fans who said, oh, no. Jackson, Phoenix, way better. Okay. But the problem is, if you're a wrestling fan, you really should see both of those matches. You really, really should. So an excellent job to both, Mike, on that. The opening matches in both were just top-notch.
Right, and especially the fact that you don't expect, you know, people might not expect Matt Jackson to have that type of match as a singles guy. He's been, by and large, a tag team guy. Now, you expect the Revival to put on that type of match. You expect the Undisputed Era to put on that type of match as a tag team. So yeah, you expect that. And nobody should have missed those two matches, and I didn't miss them. Even though I chose to watch, AEW first, you know, I didn't. Mm-hmm. I went back and I watched that revival match, you know, and yeah, like you said, if they'd stayed where they were, you know.
Maybe they'd be happy. Now, I know the fans are writing me saying technically Becky Lynch and Rhea Ripley were free. I know. But that was like an unscheduled thing where she was supposed to be calling out Shayna Baszler. Here's the thing that gets me. And WWE, I hope, are taking note of this. Becky Lynch was not widely cheered. And the reason she was not widely cheered, because for some weird reason, when NXT invades WWE, whether it be Raw or SmackDown, there's no brand loyalty in fans. Fans are like, it doesn't matter. NXT's here. That's cool. It's just a big fight, and it's 50-50. But when WWE, whether it be Raw or SmackDown, invades NXT, the NXT fans take it personally, like someone's invading our federation. In other words, Triple H has been able to make NXT feel personal to the fans that are there, much like Paul Heyman did with ECW. Paul Heyman made ECW fans feel like if you're a fan, you're a part of this organization. A vital part of this organization. And if anybody ever invaded ECW, the ECW fans were ready to riot. Well, the NXT fans were getting pretty close to ready to riot too. WWE should take a lesson from that and say, how do we get brand loyalty like that out of Raw and SmackDown? Becky Lynch, one of the most popular people, and people were chanting, Rhea's going to kill you and Shayna's going to kill you at her. Even Becky Lynch said, interesting, when she's getting booed. That's actually a positive sign for NXT. Because it means they definitely established brand loyalty with their fan base. Even over WWE, which is technically really the same brand. So that is interesting. Becky Lynch is absolutely right. I think they did a good job, Rhea Ripley and Becky Lynch. Of course, you know the deal. Shayna Baszler and her gang jumps them, but we get it. Both of them have to end up looking like the good guys, of course. But if there was a negative in NXT, it was probably there was too much of this. This is a two-hour show, and to have this happen five times, whether it be in the parking lot or versus Raw or SmackDown people or more people attacking just constantly, was a little much. I thought it was a little much. But it led to some good matches. I mean, the Forgotten Sons and the Viking Raiders, that was a good match. It shows that the Viking Raiders, what they can do. Everybody had to turn things up a notch. If there was one thing I did not like, and I'm sure this is going to come as a surprise to some people, I don't think Ricochet should have got pinned. How do you have Ricochet as a former champion on Raw? I know there was a distraction. It doesn't matter. Matt Riddle, regardless of who he is or what he is, has not made it big yet. He's not on the Raw or SmackDown, and he's not held a championship in either one of those divisions or federations. And there is no way, no way, he should have pinned Ricochet. No way. Adam Cole and Dominik Dijakovic, what a great match. I don't know. If Adam Cole is injured the way people are saying he's injured, I don't know what the hell you're doing. Letting him be in matches like this where he's literally, you know, putting his health and well-being on the line. There are a few spots in that match where I said, if this guy's back or neck is really injured, why in the blue hell is he doing taking this bump? And to his credit, Dijakovic, who is 6'7", not a small guy, took a spill from the top of the ladder into a ladder that was stretched across. It didn't look like it tickled. That's a hard spot to take. So that was a good match. Now, over on AEW, they had the Battle Royal that was co-won by Hangman Page and MJF. They had a women's match. Obviously, they had Jon Moxley against Darby Allin. They had great matches, too. But I think if we're going to talk about any of the similarities, the one thing I think we need to understand is that WWE is coming up on arguably one of their top four pay-per-views. What do you got? WrestleMania, Royal Rumble, Survivor Series, and what? You know, maybe Hell in a Cell. SummerSlam. And if you can only draw 20,000 more people to watch your show, I think that's almost a loss. And it's telling me something else too. And it's telling me that there are a lot of WWE fans who may not even be AEW fans who are saying, I don't need to watch NXT because you're going to recap everything that happened when I watch Raw or SmackDown. So that's what I'll do. Or I don't have the time. I'll go on YouTube and just hit individual matches, or I'll get results or whatever. Mike, there's something to be said about having to make these shows must watch.
Right. I mean, there was a time when, you know, during the Monday Night Wars, you were catching yourself flipping back and forth. You know, between Raw and Nitro, or when SmackDown and Thunder were going against each other, flipping back and forth between those two shows, you know?
Yeah.
Because you had to see what was going on. You just had to see it. And that's what we don't have right now, where, you know, where that's a bad habit that the WWE has. They have to recap things five or six times in Raw and probably three or four times in SmackDown.
Yep.
You know, they have to recap stuff, and that's a bad habit. And they've been doing that for a long time.
It's a really bad habit. And worse than that, even, it's bad enough if you say, here's what happened last week. But the WWE on a regular basis will come back from a commercial break and show you what just happened. You're like, Jesus, I've just watched it. I don't need to watch it again. And then again, later on, it's like, oh my God, how many times are you going to show me this? It's almost like we have no faith that you are tuning in. We have no faith that you watched for the whole 3 hours. So we're going to recap it for you people because we know you're not loyal and you're not going to watch the whole show. What are you talking about? Do you know any show that does that? If you're watching Game of Thrones or The Walking Dead or Arrow or something, halfway through the show, do they say, we're coming back from a commercial break, we're going to recap what happened for the first half hour of this show? No, they don't. You either watch it or you're lost and you say, I'm going to have to catch up because I don't know what's going on. And guess what that makes you do? That makes you watch the whole show next time because you say, well, I don't want to be lost. What did I miss? It's one thing, you know, if you came back from something bad that happened and you say, oh, my God, you know, the WWE universe is still abuzz about what we just saw here, folks, you know, and that's unbelievable. And you're like, damn, I missed it. Shit. But when you can comfortably say, I don't even have to watch a whole 2 hour show. Because in the long run, I'm going to get a full recap tonight. That's not good. That's not good. And it doesn't make you want to watch a show. So who really was the better show this week? Well, you know, I think we got to stop doing this just simply because it's just going to cross battle lines. If you're an AEW fan, your show was better. If you're an NXT fan, your show was better. That's just the way it's always going to be. there's a certain kind of brand loyalty to AEW and NXT that WWE, SmackDown, and Raw don't share. And the NXT people are going to insist, look, Adam Cole and Dijakovic knocked it out of the park. We had the appearances of Drew McIntyre and Seth Rollins and Becky Lynch and Rhea Ripley. Can you imagine? You know how fresh that is. And that's the one thing that kept going through my mind in NXT is, you know, you got Seth Rollins standing in the middle of that ring. And Tommaso Ciampa comes out, and I'm like, this is going to be great. And then I start thinking to myself, well, why is this going to be great? Seth Rollins has fought a whole bunch of people who's just as good as Tommaso Ciampa. But then it dawned on me, the reason this is great is we've never seen it. The reason this is great is all this is fresh. NXT has been building up. Rhea Ripley, Shayna Baszler, Rhea Ripley, Shayna Baszler. These are two tough women. These are the top women. These are the top women. And they never, ever, ever met Becky Lynch. In the meantime, over there in the WWE, you're building up Becky Lynch as the man. She's the man. She's the man. She's the man. And then all of a sudden, here they come together. And you're like, whoa. It's almost like building up a real wrestling angle like the WWE used to do when they did it all on the same federation and the two top people didn't meet for a while and then they did. That's why fans are reacting to this. People are saying, oh man, Ciampa and Seth Rollins. Well, you could have done the same thing and had them been both on the same brand if you cared to do it old school. All this really does is bring back the old school way of booking where you promote a guy big, you promote another guy big, they never seem to meet each other, and then they finally do. And that's what happened in NXT this week. What happens when Rhea Ripley meets Becky Lynch? What happens when Seth Rollins meets Tommaso Ciampa? These are all fresh matches, and people have invested a lot of their time in the buildups of Ciampa and Rhea Ripley and Shayna Baszler and Becky Lynch and Seth Rollins. And now they're all going to come to a head. That's old school booking, Mike, but they've done it this time by making pretend, you know, it's a separate brand.
Right, and that's the thing. This is sort of an old school angle. But, yeah, and look, another thing is, did you catch the reaction by the crowd to the Viking Raiders? They didn't call them the Viking Raiders. The crowd chanted War Raiders.
Yeah, I know. Yes. They sure did. You see, the thing is, this is why I'm talking about the brand loyalty. People have forgotten Seth Rollins was the first NXT champion, and they're just like, no, Seth Rollins isn't cool. He's been in the enemy camp too long. But Ricochet didn't get booed because, oh, we remember Ricochet. He's pretty fresh. He's still sort of, you know, NXT. The Viking Raiders, oh, we remember them. They're still sort of NXT. They're still cool. That's interesting. They want these people the way they used to be. See, this was my point when I said fans are chanting Rusev Day. They're not chanting, we want Rusev. They're chanting Rusev Day, meaning we want that back. They want the Viking Raiders to become the War Raiders. I don't know why. They can't be. You can't say the word war. And yet Ember Moon, they say it constantly. Ludicrous. There's no need to reinvent what isn't broke. No need to do it at all. But what NXT and the invasion of WWE in it this week has proven to me is that if you build people up the right way, you build a Tommaso Ciampa up, you build a Seth Rollins up, and then you hint they may fight, fans are interested. Now you got to do it in your own brand. There is no reason. That's what the WWE used to do all the time. There's no reason you can't do that. If you had a Tommaso Ciampa on Raw, you could build him up against Seth Rollins, but guess what? He doesn't debut week one, and week two he fights Seth Rollins. And that's the normal way the WWE is doing it. You've got to have that entire backstory of Tommaso Ciampa and his whole entire feud with other people. And wow, man, this guy is unbelievable. And he's this, he's that, and the other thing. And Seth Rollins and him just never the two meet. And then all of a sudden, one day, up, they've met. That's why the Hulk Hogan Andre the Giant thing was so successful. How many years did they build up Andre the Giant? Undefeated. Wasn't true, but still. Undefeated. Nobody could ever touch him. He's invincible. Who could ever beat Andre the Giant? Never, ever came into contact with Hulk Hogan. He did, actually, but not when Hogan was the Hulkamania Hogan. And fans were like, oh, well, they'll never fight. And then when they did, it was like, oh, my God. Somebody's going to not win this fight. How can anybody beat Andre? But how can anybody beat Hogan? That's the proper buildup. And the only way the WWE seems to be able to do it anymore is to separate brands for a year and then have the brands come together and all that good work you've done on brand A in a year and all that work you've done on brand B in a year, now the top people collide from that. If that's what you got to do, WWE, then make this a yearly thing. And spend your time promoting the guys who are going to fight each other eventually down the road. But you should be able to do this within your own brand, Mike. You should be able to do this on Raw and SmackDown and NXT.
Right. You should be able to do this. And, I mean, look, we've said what Triple H's ultimate goal is, you know, over and over and over again on his show. We've said that, right? His ultimate goal is to make NXT the best, the number one, you know. That's what his goal is. Now, granted, in the ratings this week don't say it, and maybe. And look, you look at how AEW is promoting their deal. We want to see that match between Cody and MJF. It's not going to happen anytime soon, but we want to see it. You know, we want to see some of this other stuff on AEW because they've done it the right way, and they've done it the right way since the beginning.
Yeah, absolutely correct. Absolutely correct. And I got news for you. This is the way it could work with anything. Let's take John Moxley, for instance. Let's say for another, 3 months, John Moxley is tearing through AEW. He doesn't lose. And then either Seth Rollins goes over to AEW or John Moxley comes over to WWE and they're going to fight. It's going to be a big deal. Huge deal. Fans are going to be like, oh, my God. Well, when they were both Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins, they fought all the time and fans were like, I've seen it. Just another fight. Nah, see, that goes to show it's the same people. It's not about the people. It's about the stories you tell with those people and how you build those people. And that's what the WWE's got to learn. Triple H did a fantastic job of building up Tommaso Ciampa. Those NXT fans know exactly what he's about. So when a guy like Seth Rollins comes over and Ciampa gets in his face, fans are like, well, this is going to be good. Because Ciampa is everything they say he is, but Seth Rollins is, you know, also. And I don't know who's going to win this. I don't know what's going to happen. That's what fans like. Or Becky Lynch and Rhea Ripley, where they're like, well, I don't know. They're not going to let Rhea Ripley lose this match. I don't think they're going to let Becky Lynch lose this match. And these are the two toughest women, you know, that you got Becky Lynch saying she's the man and Rhea Ripley is, you know, big, tough. People are afraid of her. And wow, they're going to collide. That's exactly the philosophy of pro wrestling that should be the promoting psychological build up to all matches. Doesn't have to be big, mean, tough. It can be high flying, you know, where you say, oh my God, you know, Ricochet is going to take on Leo Rush. What kind of match is that going to be? Yeah. See, that's the way you want to do it. But if Ricochet took on Leo Rush, which he did in the WWE, you'd be like, yeah. not going to be that kind of good a match because Leo Rush is just Bobby Lashley's little mouthpiece. And yeah, he flippity flops a lot, but he's not beating Ricochet. But now that you've established Leo Rush over there, it's a different Leo Rush. And now people would say, oh, this is going to be a great match. Well, why couldn't you do that when Leo Rush was on Raw? See, that's my point. It's the same people. It's just the way you handled them that made their matches not as exciting as they should have been. The build-up to their matches, it was like, oh, this is no big deal. Ricochet as a warm-up to go fight somebody good at a pay-per-view is going to fight Leo Rush. And you all know Leo Rush. He's a good little athlete, but he's mostly just a spokesman for Bobby Lashley, and he'll give him a little offense. But basically, you're just going to see Ricochet dust him because he's on his way to fighting somebody better at a pay-per-view. Rather than to say, no, let's build up Leo Rush as this high-flying, you know, guy, and then Ricochet is the same thing, and then let him clash. They don't do that in the WWE. They just don't. And it's a shame. So if I have to give this thing ratings, which is our job, NXT is going to get a little bit lower rating than I normally would give it, only because I think there was too many invasions. Every other match was one. And then the end, you got people down there. My God, you've got Hawkins and Ryder down there. What the hell are they doing down there even? And it left me flat because I'm saying, you know what? Now you're just pressing. Now you're just doing it to do it. Every match can't be somebody's interfering. This is outrageous. But the matches were great. So a show that I would normally have probably given an A-, I'm going to give a flat B2 because I think they overpressed a little bit. So let's start with NXT, Mike. What was your thoughts?
You know, to tell you the truth, I'm going to give it a little bit worse than a flat B. I'm going to give it a B-, just because of they way overpressed with me, you know.
Yeah, I agree. It was way overpressed. I mean, literally every match, almost every match, had somebody interfering in it from WWE, or there was a backstage commotion during the match where somebody was interfering. And yeah, that it went from exciting to, oh, I wonder who's going to be here, to just, okay, this is annoying. And now we're going to get more of this tonight, I guess, on SmackDown. Now, as far as AEW is concerned, that's a couple of top-notch matches, a couple of very, very, very good segments, and a couple of I don't think they were any better much than the NXT product, except they didn't overpress because they didn't have anything to really promote like that. So I'm going to give them a slightly better grade. I'm going to give it a B+, Mike.
I think I'm going to give it a B+ as well. And boy, I mean, the Nick Jackson match, and then of course the Moxley Darby Allin match. They got. I said they had a star in MJF. I think they got a star in Darby Allin.
Yeah, I think he's coming along rather well. And AEW, if they're doing one thing right, besides putting on quality matches, is they are putting their big names in with people who they know are going to be their big names a while from now. And that is crucially important because you are getting that name recognition, where before a lot of people are like, who the hell is MJF? I remember people were making fun of him when he was on the press conferences and things, saying, who's this guy? You know, it doesn't sound like anybody's going to be any good. It's just, you know, third rate guy who's good on the mic. Now people aren't laughing. 60 seconds. Same way with Darby Allin, just another hardcore guy. It's not going to work, you know, but it's working because you're putting them against top name people and letting them get that exposure and letting them get that rub. And that's very, very important, Mike, and they're doing that very well.
I mean, they're doing it almost across the board now. If they could get there, I mean, Look at the. I've never heard of Private Party, you know. And now, there's tag team stars. Yeah, you say, well, the Jacksons and these other people. But I tell you what, this private party. Now, if they could somehow do something with their women's division. That's the only weak
that
thing
is,
in AEW right now, their women's
yes.
division.
Yes, I agree with that. That is a liability. And by the way, I said I would address it slightly, so I'll just say there is no evidence that apparently, I can't even remember her name, but one of the original women's division stars of AEW that quit or asked for her release, apparently there was a rumor going around that Brandi Rhodes had kind of bullied her out of the Federation and didn't like her and was nasty to her or whatever, and Brandi Rhodes has categorically denied it. I will say it is a mystery why anyone would sign and then less than a month into your tenure say, I want out. But there's no evidence to suggest it, and Brandi Rhodes has categorically denied it, and I haven't heard anything else about it. So unless I do, I'm going to assume that's just a rumor. Anyway, I would say that AEW very slightly won as far as who the better show was, only because WWE overpressed. The match quality was the same, probably. Damn close. But this overpressing of the invasion angle left me a little cold, whereas we didn't have to deal with anything like that on AEW. But the ratings show that names matter. And AEW better take note of that and say, let's make some names, just like they're doing, because names really do matter. Becky Lynch and Seth Rollins on that show equals we won our first ratings victory. I guarantee you, if it's just Cesaro and Nakamura on that show, it's not going to happen. They took two of their top names, placed them in that show, and they got the victory because of it. That sends a message. And that message is the name recognition really does matter. So AEW, if you're right now on your foundation and you're building your foundation, build those names. Make sure that these guys like MJF, Darby Allin, Hangman Page, those people become household names. No matter how you have to do it, you make sure that that's what you're doing, because you're not going to be able to have Chris Jericho forever. You're not going to be able to have, Jack Swagger and those people forever. Eventually, some of those names are going to retire or go elsewhere or do whatever, and you've got to sink or swim with who your real guys are and not your hired guns. And WWE better take note that NXT's fans have brand loyalty. I don't see that in Raw. I don't see that in SmackDown. SmackDown guys invade Raw. There's no like, oh, fuck SmackDown. No. They're like, oh, good, more people are here. We got to see more people. WWE better take note of that. You want there to be brand loyalty. You want Raw fans to say, I don't want SmackDown to win. I don't want NXT to win. That's what you want. The only brand loyalty you seem to have is an NXT. You better ask yourself why. Be interesting to see what happens tonight, and we'll be back here on Sunday to discuss it. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Wrestling Chat Radio is a Savage Blade.